We're in June on a ministry trip there, and Debbie is an amazing anointed woman of God, carries wisdom and authority and humility. So open your hearts and spirits wide to receive and welcome her as she comes up.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Ian and Sabina and Corey and the family, Caleb. Everyone in the family has received me. And thank you, you all, for receiving me this morning. It's a privilege to be here. And this is the love of God and His grace for me to be here as well. It's the love of God for Great Britain that I am here also. And I have been praying for your nation 11 years before He brought me here this year. And so for that 11 year, I never gave up on praying for you. And I'm thinking about how God put your nation in my heart. And I was just faithfully praying for you and knowing you have a destiny in Him. You have a purpose to be here and to be in this nation. And Great Britain play an important, very important role in the body of Christ. And you need to know that and you need to embrace that and you need not let go of that. So I feel so humbled to be here because of the open door after 11 years. And there's a lot of time I could have traveled around the world, but yet the door for Great Britain did not open until this year after 11 years. So I know that there is a timing in everything. For God is never late. He's always on time. And He has a great, great thing for you individually as who you are and where you stand for His kingdom, what your portion for His kingdom, and where you move forward to be part of the body of Christ around the world. And for that, I'm bringing you a greeting from the nation of Vietnam, where I belong, but I don't feel belong. I don't feel I'm Vietnamese at all since very young, which is very strange because I don't like the people, the way they think, the culture and everything. I feel not belonging. And I asked the Lord, that is just strange and wrong because you born there and you don't feel you belong there. But then one day the Lord told me that you belong to my kingdom. And that is the difference. And over year that God would just show me more of the inheritance that He has ordained before the foundation of earth. But you should have the courage to take it. You should have the belief to take that inheritance that He's already set aside for you. And actually, the choice is yours. I was born and raised in a Christian family. And third generation, the gospel ever came to Vietnam. My grandmother would the first generation that received it. So I was born and raised in a very traditional evangelical church. Tell me all about the traditional, about the culture, what you can do, what you cannot do. And I know all about it. I'm not a stranger for that traditional thing. And as I growing up, I'm the firstborn of my parents. They are still pastoring a church in the central of Vietnam. I left home since I was 18 years old. As soon as I turned 18, I would just go. Leave the city, go to another city and pursue my education and all that. And ever since little, I already prayed to God that, Lord, do not never call me into ministry. Never, ever. I do not want the idea. I do not like it. And I can never make it in my life with ministry. I just don't like it. Leave me alone. And And I try to prove myself before God that I can be a very faithful one, that the Lord will leave me alone. So forever that I had a first job, I worked since I was 11, 12 years old to feed my whole family. And in the background that we did not have much food to eat and everything, and my parents was a traveling minister we was persecuted by the communists and all that. I seen people beating my father in front of my eyes. So that's why I never wanted to be in ministry. I thought, why are you follow this God and have to just receive all the hatred from the people? Whenever you introduce yourself, wherever you go, people will just stone you or beating you up. And I hated that. I hated who I was. And but then God really anointed me with the anointing of business. I can make business work everywhere I go. I can touch anything and it become money. So started that. I work, I sell peanut. I bought peanut and corn and I cook and then I sell on the street and ice cream and everything that I could find just to feed my family. My parent was never received any offering or salary from the church back then. It just, you're calling, you pursue it, and it's not because you would have any money. And because of that, I felt so left alone with my two younger siblings, a brother and a sister. And I basically fed them every day. And I love that. I was not forced to go to work, but I love to have a job and go make money. And the reason I said, Lord, never call me into ministry, because I love money. I want to make money. I want our life changed. I don't want to be in poverty. I don't want to lack food. We don't have any clothes. We have only one shirt and one pants, and that all our life. We just don't have. We lack. And then I hated that. And I asked the Lord, just leave me alone. I'm going to go and make money. So that's why I started very young making money. And I was in university when I have the encounter with the Holy Spirit. I went to a fellowship at church, Pentecostal church, and that where I had the encounter powerfully. It just shifted my whole life when I met Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, I heard so much about you. I read about you, but I never have anything to do with you the way I should. And that would just change my whole life after that. And I told my parents, do not expect me to come back with your church. Never. I would not. I would not come back with your church. But praise God that I walk in that journey to be with my Holy Spirit ever seen. So I went to university and started to have a lot of job. And from my first paycheck, I always tried to prove to God that He can trust me. I always set aside 10% in an envelope to go into the house of the Lord. I want to prove God that He needed my money. And He would leave me alone so I can work. Yeah, so I was so faithful to the point that I thought that would satisfy God so that He would never call me into ministry or anything. I would set aside. I never touch it. I bring it into the house of the Lord. The church needed my money. I was so blessed with my work that I could make 10 times more than a normal person, whatever I did, whatever kind of job. I am a woman of favor to the point that I have favor with the official. I have favor with the boss. I have favor with the college. Wherever I go with favor. And that is just astonishing how God blessing you, even though when you are not walking in obedience with His will, that our Father. And even so, I was not aware of the call. I know there's a calling, but I deny in this. I said, like, oh, what can I do in ministry? I just can't sing or play musical instrument. I can't just lead worship. I just good for nothing, I think. 2003, the Lord gave me word and called me into ministry for the first time to work with a children ministry. I translated a lot of children material from English into Vietnamese. And that was when the Lord gave me Psalm 2:8 that asked of me, I will make nation in your inheritance, the end of the world, your possession. And for a young woman in university, just finished university, I thought, what does that mean? What does that mean? You make nation my inheritance. How can nation become my inheritance when I don't even love my own nation? You know, I just want to leave my nation and go somewhere better. And the end of the earth is your possession. And I have been living. As soon as I respond to God and say, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want. Make me, break me, mold me. Just do whatever you want so that I can inherit that inheritance thing changed and shifted. But it's a long journey before you could enter into that calling with full obedience. And I have seen the faithfulness of God. I am a living miracle every single moment of my life. My family, my parents, and their ministry, my brother and his ministry. So God has a sense of humor. Because I asked that, do not call me in ministry. But as soon as I left home and to be with another church, totally different Pentecostal Holy Spirit feel, God started to call me to go back in ministry. And I was so desperate to hear the voice of God and denied it. There was one day I was praying to God and I say, Lord, if you really need somebody in the family to follow my father's footstep, call my brother. He's available. And that is my secret prayer. And my brother did not know that. He did not. He had no idea that I was praying. And I pray out of desperation. It's not because I'm checking on with God, plan for my life or my brother life. I was just like, Lord, do not call me. If you want, really want somebody from the family, call my brother. And that isn't it us? Like, Lord, here I am. Send my brother. Here I am, Lord. Send my sisters. Here I am. Send Mr. Mrs. something, right? But that who we are. We are so stupid and crazy. We are, yes, we are messed up. So, and I work 3-4 job during my brother is 2 years younger, and I make enough money to pay for my education, and I pay for his education at university. And he took on the second diploma. The first one is business relation, and the second one is sociology. And when he accomplished the second degree, and I was so joyful, I thought, oh, now that he can help me to make more money for the family and share my burden. And 1 week after graduation, he came to me and he said, sister, I have something to tell you. And my brother is an opposite character to me. He's quiet, gentle, and very loving people. I don't love people. I hate people. That's another story, but my brother is an opposite, okay? And I just said that I have something to tell you, and he just came to my house, and I said, okay, did you get a job? How much do they pay you? How much is your first month? Where is your work? And he said, no, just can you sit down and listen to me? And he said, I think the Lord called me to become a pastor. I said, no, the Lord did not call you. I was so mad. I said, I was like reacted like a maniac woman. I was like, no, the Lord did not call you. Because if the Lord call you, he should call you before I pay for your education. That's wrong order. That's so wrong order. Yes, two degrees. I only had one. You know, I always finish one degree, and I thought he's the man. He needs more education. He has to be the man of the family and all that, more responsibility. So I can sacrifice. I love going to school. If I was born in a family with money, I would accomplish a lot of PhD because I love school. I just love studying and all that. And So he said, no, he said, yeah, but I don't know. The Lord called me to become a pastor. What can I do? And I say, you go back home and pray again. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe you didn't hear that clearly. Maybe you messed up with your life. Just go home and pray. I will pray about it. And we talk again. Yes. And he said, okay, I'm sorry to upset you, but I just think I needed you to know that. And immediately when he left, I repented, deeply repented to God. I said, Lord, I am so stupid. I am so overreacted. I am so arrogant, and I am so wrong. I am supposed to bless my brother and release him and let him pursue you and to be used by you. And look how I reacted. And I was just so ashamed of myself as a bigger sister that your younger brother come and confine something serious and you reacted like that. So I call him and I say, okay, suppose that God call you. What are you going to do? How can you become a pastor? Where are you going to Bible school? And there's no Bible school in Vietnam back then in the year 2004, 2005. After that, there was no Bible school. And so we prayed about it. We prayed like, where can you go to Bible school to become a pastor and all that? And when I was praying, the Lord brought me some people from South Korea, my friend. And she said that our church is looking for somebody that they can support to send over to South Korea for the Bible school. And send back home to serve in Vietnam. And I say, yes, that God. And I know that's God along the way. So I repented and sent him to South Korea. And on the day that we saying goodbye at the airport, I did not even have money to give him. I have $100 and give him. And my heart was just so heavy because I don't know who's going to take care of him. Because I have been cooking for him every single day since he came to that city with me. And now that he will be like all out there and just I have to put that in the hand of God and saying that you go and the Lord bless you and be with you. And I work and the Lord bless me a lot with financially. I love my job. I was teaching English and I was teaching business English. And wherever I go, God just bless me. And then it was one day, 2007, that the Lord said, would you leave everything for me? And I said, leave everything. What did you mean? I mean, your job and everything. Everything. Just follow me. And I struggle. I say, yes, I will leave, but can I leave slowly? Like, oh yeah, I leave my job like part-time now and work part-time. And I was struggling and I was having a lot of conversation with God, trying to persuade God what is good for me. Yes, and that who I was. I was very strong characters, and I want to do it my way. I know better. That's who I am. And 2007 was the first. I gave up my job for 3 months. I thought that 3 months, maybe God would tell me some different thing. Maybe he doesn't want me anymore. After 3 months, I'll go back to my work. So I left my job and went here to Wales for the counseling ministry. That how I said it's 11 years since I went here for the first time and fall in love with your nation and recognize how much God gonna bless you and use you for the day to come. And that's why I was been bearing that in my spirit and praying for you. And I'm praying every single year, I'm praying to come back here. After 11 years, the Lord responded. And I know that there's something bigger. There's something significant for United Kingdom. So I left for 3 months and I came back. And I was so scared of not having a job, not having money. So I work again part-time. So just part-time, 4 hours a day. And until 2011, God spoke to me again. Would you leave everything for me? And I I asked the Lord, who's going to take care of my parents? Who's going to financially support my parents? And this is what exactly what I heard from the Holy Spirit. He said, do you think you can take care of your family better than I do? That was so strong to my spirit. I broke down in repentance, and that shifted my whole perspective about who I am. I was so arrogant. I thought that I could do it all and to bless for my family and feed them and provide. But when God said, do you think that you can take care of your family better than I do? That was the end of my discussion. And that was the beginning of my journey. Here I am, Lord. Take me, make me, mold me, send me, do whatever you want. And since that moment on, I started to experience Psalm 2A in the bigger picture. God has been using me crazily. I don't have a job. I don't have the income. I don't even have a church back me up. And I never have to write newsletter to ask for money from anybody. And I could travel 20 countries per year. Per year. That's just God. That's only God could do. And every single nation that God put in my heart and sent me off, I basically go with faith and not with sight. I don't even know where the money comes from. I don't even know. And I don't want to think about it. Because part of my conversation with God before I left everything, my boss said that you're crazy. You can never come back because when you come back, everything is gone. You can never pick up where you start, where you left. But then because the conviction was so deep in my spirit and I could not deny it, I could not run away from it, and I really committed just to give my life, God started to show me what He wanted. But also my prayer and my conversation with God, Lord, you use me, you provide whatever I need, because I would never ask people for money. I would not. But you, if you can use the castor, you have the castor and the heel. You use the people. You speak to the people. You speak to me. You speak to the people. You just do all that administration. I don't. Yes. And I started my journey with seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. After miracle, I just hear, sometimes it's just audible voice, sometimes it's just rhema words, sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit just put something in my spirit, and I only argue, but I also only obedient. Most of the time, well, I will argue first. I will say, oh, how can I get there? I don't know anybody there, and what are you going to do with my life? And over there, I don't know the people. But God really opened door, and God really ordained your step, the step of righteous is ordained by God. And that how I'm sharing with you this testimony in order to encourage you to know that the God that we are loving, the God that we are serving, the God that we are following is the real mighty living God. He the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. He never change, and He's the law, and He shall not lie. And His promise to us is just powerful and active. But if you believe, if you could believe, if you choose to believe, you will see the glory of God. And I have been in and out the situation of persecution. The police will follow me in Vietnam. They follow into my room in the North Vietnam when I came to that city, Hanoi, for the pastor conference and pastor and leader conference. And even when I was hiding in a hotel up there on the third floor, the police came that night and they stood in front of my room. Stood in front of my room, 304, and they talked to each other. They said, where is the room 304? Where is the room 304? They could not see the number on my door. the Spirit of God just confused, sent confusion into the camp of the enemy. They could not see a thing. And they were just so mad with the fact that I could not find a room. And I was inside with some other pastor praying and interceding and fighting the battle. And they left. And another occasion that I was leading a youth camp, and they sent a police troop in a big bus hiding in there and took a videos of us at the camp. And the next day they said that you should come to the police station. You just commit a lot of illegal thing. Yes, you guys are in trouble. So the next day we came to the police station with another two leaders of mine, and we were sitting there, and the police officer said, "Do you know what you did? Do you know what you did?" And we said, "Yeah, no, we didn't do anything. We just praise God, singing, worshiping in the hotel area." And he said, "You broke the law, and we have evidence for that. You cannot deny that. We have evidence for that." We were so shaken inside, but we did not know what to do. We just sitting there. And the police officer came, and he played a tape from a video. He said that this tape, what I'm going to sell you, is the evidence that you break the law, and is the evidence that will put you in prison. And we were sitting there, and we're just praying so hard inside, and we don't know what next. And the police officer pressed on play on the screen, and it came out blank. Hallelujah. Nothing in it. Nothing on the tape. He didn't have any evidence. And so that he has to release us. And that who's our God is. That is our God. He protects you. He sends you. He anoints you. He assigns you. And he's there the whole time. And he said that I never leave you nor forsake you. And that is true. And that is so. Believe it. Because he never leaves us. Even you walk with him or you walk away from him, he's still there. It's only us that we feel maybe he's not there, but it's not true. He's always there. And I could tell you a million of story of how he has been protected me in that sense, and also how he provided and sent me to foreign country, to the land that I do not know, to the land that sometimes the land that I prayed about, and sometimes the land that I never have any desire to go. But he, when he speak, there must be a reason. When he reveals something, there must be something more powerful that you could imagine, because you only need to step out with faith and obedience. And 2013, I was in a meeting in Bangkok, Thailand, and I was standing there, and the Lord said, I was standing there alone, and I hear a very clear voice talking to me. He said, "You are going to Nepal." I never heard Nepal in my life. I don't even know where it is in the map, because I never have a desire to go there, so I don't check it out, you know. Ask me where's England, I would know. Ask me where's America, I would know, but not Nepal. And my reaction to that voice, I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to Nepal. Why?" So then I hear the second sound, "You are going to Nepal." And I say, "I do not know anybody there. What are you saying? Where is the country and why?" And then the third time, the Holy Spirit said, the same still, strong, loving voice. He said, "You are going to Nepal." And this time, the third time, I stop reaction. But I say, "Oh, I will go if you just tell me who I can connect with. Send me a person, and better be a Christian to connect with me. I'll go." I don't know anybody, so I thought that God would not send me, because I don't know anybody. I don't think he would be able to send me one Nepalese immediately. I thought, I just say, "God, if you send me one Nepalese Christian, I will go." Now, 5 minutes later, in Bangkok, there's one man, he came up and I say, "Hello, My name is Prakash. I'm from Nepal. I am a pastor. No, don't clap. I'm in trouble, you know? And it's in Bangkok. It's in Thailand. It's not in Vietnam. It's not in Nepal. It's not anywhere that you can imagine one Nepalese was there waiting for you. And it came 5 minutes after your prayer and say, my name is Prakash. Nice to meet you. I'm from Nepal. I'm a pastor. And you see, if you give all yourself to God, He's going to do crazy thing in your life. The thing that you can't imagine. It's just above and beyond of your capacity and beyond your imagination. Now, that was in March 2013. I came home from that meeting with the guy, and I came home and I said, Lord, can you send somebody to go with me to Nepal? I will go, but send somebody. You know, like I was just praying, and I was so scared because I have a history with the Indian people. I just don't like Indian. They just drive me crazy. The fact that they just moving their head already drive me crazy. When they say yes, it's like this. It's just, yeah, you don't do yes. They do yes. Yes. And I think the Nepali would be like the Indian. That's what I thought. You know, I thought, oh, that's part of the world. Oh, my God, have mercy on me. I would just not. How can I love the people? How can I go to the nation and I don't have a love for the people? That's wrong. And I came home and I wrote a letter to two different people. I thought I would write to two ministry partners in the U.S. to ask them to join me for Nepal. So I sent one to Texas, and the Texas people wrote me back and said, oh, sorry, Debbie, we don't feel called for Nepal, so we can't go with you. And then I wait until like the end of May. Then I receive a phone call from another ministry partner in Denver, and his wife call me, and they said, oh, Debbie, we think that God wants us to go to Nepal with you. And I said, oh, praise God, did you receive my email? And they say, no, you never sent us any emails. I forgot to send them the email. I never did. I thought I would, but I didn't. You see how God works. That's such a confirmation because I never received my invitation, but they hear from the Lord. And it's not because they never been to Nepal. They have been to Nepal for more than 10 years by themselves. So they don't need me to connect or to do anything with them. I need them, not they need me. But then they said, the Lord also said very clearly, that we're not going to connect with our connection in Nepal. We connect with your connection. I said, I don't have any connection. I only know one Prakash. And I never do ministry with the guy. You know, that's my connection. I never did any ministry with him to know what kind of church, what they expect, what can we do. But they said, oh, Debbie, we just want to be obedient to God and go with your connection. And that same year in July, we came to Nepal, and we was able to reach out the whole country with all pastors and leaders in one meeting. And we keep coming back every year. And we have seen the hand of God. We have seen God touching the nation and changing this nation powerfully. It is changing because most of them are from Baptist background. And the last few years, we has been bringing in the teaching of the Holy Spirit and bringing in the different teaching to help them to walk with the Holy Spirit, and they all receive it. And immediately that first trip, God put Nepal in my heart in a very special way. I love the land, I love the people, and I keep coming back. And God has used that mightily. And last year in December, when I returned, some of the pastor was talking to me and they say, would you receive our land as your inheritance? I thought it's crazy to hear that from the pastor and the leader in Nepal. They said, would you receive our land as your inheritance? And that what we are talking about, ask of me, I will make nation your inheritance, the end of the world, your possession. And Nepal is not the first country God given me. In fact, God has given me America, South Korea, and Nepal, and Singapore, and Malaysia, and Indonesia, Thailand. And now God put in my heart for Brunei, which I never been there, and Myanmar, and Ethiopia, Eritrea, and South Sudan, and Somalia. And I have been to the country where I hated it, like Egypt. I hated it when last year in December that God asked me just to go. And I don't have any relationship with Egypt in terms of you carry the burden and pray for it. It's just so hard. But when I went there, the Lord was using me all of a sudden, miraculously, to speak to the Muslim refugee. And I spoke to them and packed my suitcase and ready to run for my safety. But God has prepared those nations. That's why I'm sharing the nation of Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and South Sudan was there. And I'm not an evangelist. I don't share Jesus to non-believer. It's just hard for me to start to say, hello, Jesus love you. And I would run away already, you know? Like, that's all I know. Like, hello, Jesus love you. But I would disappear the next minute. And I would put in the position, in the situation where I don't have a backup in front of this Muslim that never heard about Jesus. And I was so fearful in my spirit. I was so fearful because their face looked so angry. Their face looked so unfriendly. And God put me among those 20 men and women the first day and another time that more men than women. And they looked so serious. And I started to pray in tongue. And as soon as I stop into praying tongue and I don't know what to share, I share a little bit of my life and why I'm there and how God loves them. And they say, can I pray for you? And they say, yes. And I was so happy. And I touched my hand and prayed for each one of them. And they all received the Holy Spirit. Wow. They did not confess their faith before God yet. It's done after that. But they could feel the Holy Spirit at that moment. And I'm telling you, it was one of the powerful, unpleasant trip for me, but it was so powerful. And I can tell you on and on and on and on. But now, let's go to who you are and what do you expect? What do you want the Lord to do for you? What is your portion? What is the UK portion? What is your city portion? What is your church portion? For his kingdom, from his kingdom. How are you going to partake that kingdom that God is talking about? What do you believe that he can do? If God can use somebody like me from Vietnam, who from a very little small town nobody knows, and has done marvelous and powerful work around the world, God can do anything to you. Would you believe that? He can use you even 100 times more powerful, expanded, just touching the nation and touching lives and changing the city and changing the nation. And UK just has been so deep in my heart in a way that I felt this. The urgency of the hour for UK is right now. I felt like this is the last call from heaven for you to respond to God. I felt that you had to do something before it's too late. This is the extended mercy of God upon this nation. You have been trusted so much from the Lord. He has been calling you and set you apart, but you did not take your position. You was compromising. You given your land to the foreigner, to the stranger who defile your land. You defile your land into the exact word. But this has to be over. and it has to be canceled once for all. That's what I believe. And I know that the United Kingdom God has a great plan in way that you are called to be the motherlands of the nation. Now, if you ever heard about it, but this is what other nations around the world believe about you. And they pray for you. The fact that I'm here this morning, I have intercessors from around the world that join me in spirit and praying for United Kingdom to arise and shine. And the time is now. You have to take your position and you have to take your inheritance. Now, a lot of time, we will ask God, like I always ask God, who am I? What can I do? Like, I don't have enough money. I don't have the resource. I don't have even the anointing. I don't have the gift. What can I do for your kingdom? I feel helpless. I feel unanointed. I feel I'm not qualified. Welcome to the club. Yes, because he's a master of making nothing into something. He's a master of that. At the moment, as soon as you recognize that you are nothing, that is the moment he's making you something significant. If you carry your church and your city and your nation in a deep way, you should only ask God, what is my portion for your kingdom here? Because actually Jesus taught us the prayer that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here in UK as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Does that mean that we will pray about it at the Lord prayer to finish the meeting and then moving on with our life? Or do you really take every single word that Jesus had taught us and believe that actually you can bring forth his kingdom here on earth where you are? You can just release that the kingdom of God in your personal life, in the lives that you love, in your family member, in your city, in your country. How about that? How about that kingdom that we are talking about? How about walking in that authority that the kingdom of God is yours? And also his calling for the kingdom of God is at hand for every single nation. And I have seen that the nation around the world has come up and arise and shine. And you have to be part of that armies of God. In this end time, there's no other choice. You have to say, you have to respond to God calling. Now, in the story in Joshua 17, I remember when the tribe of Joseph. Now, this is the words of God. I would like for you to take hold of this, because this will speak to you. If you think it's about your perspective. What you believe to ask God for. If you think you don't have enough of your inheritance, if it's your allotment is too small, in fact, you can come before God and say, we want a bigger allotment. Yes. Would you take that obedience and take that courage to come before God in Joshua 17? And I think this was very powerful word when I shared this with the Nepalese, and we did some prophetic act from verse 14 to 17, 18. So I would read Joshua 17, because I want... We're going to believe together. The nation around the world has believed with you and pray for you, but they cannot do the thing you has to do. They only support you and stand in the gap with you, but they cannot claim your inheritance because it belongs to you. And I'm saying your inheritance, I'm not meaning that it's only United Kingdom. I'm saying the end of the world has been given to United Kingdom. And you have to be part of that. You have to take that deep, deep. And Joshua 17:17. But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, who's numerous and very powerful, you will have not only one allotment, but the forest, this hill country as well, clear it. This is a very powerful word, clear it. And the further, and its further limit will be yours. So whatever you can clear, whatever your vision you could see, the furthest limit will be yours, whatever you dare to see. Whatever you dare to chop off and clear it, then that will be the further limit is your allotment, is your inheritance. And then the word clear it, and the furthest limit will be yours. Though the Canaanites have iron chariot, and though they are strong, you can drive them out. Well, who is your enemy? How strong they are. What kind of iron do they have? What kind of stronghold do they have on your life? What kind of stronghold they have in your nation? What kind of stronghold do they have in your city, in your family? Actually, you can drive them out. And then this is the word of action. This is the word of action. It's not just saying and declaring. It's not enough. You have to chop the wood, clear it, and you have to drive the enemy out at the same time in order to take your inheritance. What is it in your life that God asks you have to clear it and remove it and just abandon it? And in my life, God has to remove a lot of things and take away a lot of things. And it's not just, at first you thought it is a sacrifice, but actually it's not a sacrifice. It's a pruning process for the tree of life in your life growing and bearing fruit. But it's not an easy process. I'm telling you, it's a painful process. It's never be easy. When you do the pruning on the tree, on the branches, it hurts. It's not a pleasant feeling. But the more you practice this, the more you walk in that journey of willing to let God prune it, the easier it's become. Because the more you are closing to the heart of God, the easier for you to obey God. Let me put it in that way. And I seeing that you just, what have you been asking the Lord? What have you been asking God for your portion? What kind of portion are you willing and dare to ask? Because He's willing to give, but sometimes you just not dare to ask. And ask you shall be given. And you don't ask, He's not going to give anything if you don't ask. But if you dare to ask, he gonna give, and he gonna expand that and give you the capacity to receive and to do something with it. Now, I never thought that I would be receiving the Paul, but as the journey I walk, I can see he increasing my journey with them, with the anointing, with the supply, with the provision, and with even the divine connection to take that land. Finally, they said, can you take our land? Can you believe that in 2014, I came in November, the end of November, and I was speaking to the pastor and the leader, and I saw a vision of earthquake in that area in Nepal. And I told them that there will be a shaking in your land. And I thought that would be spiritual shaking. You know, I thought, oh, this is spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. I don't see anything further than spiritual thing. And I spoke about the shaking of land. Now, that was November 2014. I came home, and March 2015, there was an earthquake in that land. When I was so worried, I said, oh, Lord, I'm not going to come back. They're going to kill me because I'm saying something, you know. And I connect with them, and I found out many churches' building was collapsed and many homes was lost. But Nobody was die. Nobody that I know and the church and the believers in the region of the earthquake die. Praise God. So I came back and I told and I asked the pastor and the leaders. They were still living in a tent. They don't have a home yet. And when I was asking them, what do you think about the earthquake? What do the people think about the earthquake? And this is what the pastors say. We would be happy for God to bring more earthquake if that meaning that he could destroy all the stronghold in our country. We'd be willing for God and waiting for more earthquake to shake this land. We don't care. More earthquakes, no problem. The two oldest, one temple and one pagoda, one belonged to Buddhism and one belonged to Hinduism in Kathmandu stronghold, was collapsed during that earthquake. And that's what the believer think. What do they think? They think if God is doing something, so be it. We will be sanctified. We'll be purified. We'll be put in a better place, even though we don't have a home. We have been holding on too much with the material life. We have been depending so much with the money we have. We have been depending so much that thing is in control. But what about one day that we cannot control anything in our life at all? Where can you hold on to? Who can you hold on to? Who is the anchor of your soul and your trust and your faith? That is the question. And these people, they're willing to lose their home just like that so that God can destroy more temple and pagoda. And would you be willing to say the same prayer like that when God doing something in United Kingdom? Would you be willing to say, Lord, here I am, do whatever you make, you want to make me, mold me, and send me? Or would you just ask, Lord, or would you just only see what you don't have instead? Because a lot of time, our first reaction to God, but Lord, we don't have the money. We don't have the land. We don't have enough people. We don't have the anointed people around. Just what we don't have. Now, I will finish with this story that everybody knows because I want to release the God miracle upon you. And you will leave here today and be different. Never be the same anymore. I can see that. The Spirit of God is moving. In Mark 6, the story that everybody knows about Jesus' feed the 5,000. Now, a lot of time we talk about this passage, this story, it's just the miracle. But I'm talking about what Jesus see, what your reaction usually be, our reaction usually be, and what Jesus ask. When the disciple was just so tired the whole day, they didn't eat and everything, and they say, this is a big crowd. What can we do with them? What can we do with so many nations that here in your land, in England, and doing all the kind of thing, defying the land, and you think you, what can we do? They are so numerous. They are there. And the disciple was so panicked because they don't have food. And this is what they presented to God, and this is us. Always see problem, negative thing, very negative. He said, verse 35. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciple came to him and said, this is a remote place. We think we are in a remote place. We don't have enough help. Can we find something we need in this place? And is it already very late? That's what we usually think. Oh, what can I do? I'm old. What can I do? It's late. I should have responded to God when I was 20, not now when I was 40. I should have responded to God long ago, but I didn't. So I guess it's kind of late. That's how I'm responding. The disciples say it's late. It's a remote area. We're in the middle of nowhere. What can we do? So, and then said, send the people away Is that our reaction when we can't do anything? We just like leave people, go and be blessed somewhere else. Go and be blessed somewhere else because we can't handle you. That who, yes. Now you're asking, Lord, why don't we see more people coming to church? That why? Because you are not willing to receive them and sit with them and wait on the miracle of God. Because you think you cannot do, they are better off to be sent somewhere else. Isn't it true? You don't take on the responsibility together with God and believing that it's God who doing something, it's not you. Because we would think, oh, my responsibility. Oh, God, the disciple think that, oh, how can we feed them? This is the big crown. And then that next, send them away so they can go to the surrounding. Then you even have a solution for God. Who are you? You know who I am. I'm just like, that's me. I usually do that to God. I usually have a solution for God in every matter. I would say, God, why don't you do this? That would solve my problem. Just why don't you just go and clear that road so that we can have an evangelism event. We will always have a solution for God. The same with the disciple. And that is us. Send them to the village and buy themselves something to eat. You have a solution and you can't even think how to spend other people's money also. You say they will go and buy themselves food. So you're just passing on the responsibility nicely. That crazy. But then God, Jesus said, this is Jesus said to his disciple. And Jesus said to you, British, the nation, your city, your country. This is what Jesus said. Verse 36. But he answered. He didn't respond to their overreaction. He didn't respond like answer their question. Like where can we find the food? It's late. We in a remote area. He said, you give them something to eat. You giving the nation something to eat is you. That Jesus is calling you and Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is just believing in you and see the potential of what you can do by saying, you give them something to eat. You will give the nation something to eat. You will give the people in need something to eat. That what God is saying to you today, as he already called you and ordained you and blessed you and also assigned you for such a day as this, he believed you can accomplish it with him, with his spirit. It's not you that doing it, but the miracle will follow that, wouldn't it? But would you believe that what Jesus believed in you, you will live a life full miracles after miracles? Because I was astonished. And the next question he didn't say, what don't you have? What is something you don't have? He never asked that. He never asked anything in your life that you don't have. But he asked, what do you have? And that is enough. Whatever you have, your time, your money, your singing, your talent, whatever it is, that is enough. And we know the rest of the story of the boy that brought 5 loaves and fish, 2 fish, and that all enough to feed the 5,000 men and then the women and the children and plus 12 baskets full. And I'm praying that from this day on, this will be your response to God. That I want to walk the miracle. I want to be the miracle. I'm not just praying for the miracle. I am the miracle. My life is a miracle for the people around me. And I am the one who feed the nation that you give to me. I am the one who feed the people that you brought in front of me. Whatever the path of life that God is sending you, you take that responsibility. You take that call and you walk with the miracle and you see the powerful hand of God upon your life and your calling starting from here. Starting from this community. And I challenge you that where are the people? Because you send them away. Yes, you're like, oh, yes, but let them go and just buy them food. Buy themselves some foods, and then they can come back and hear in the world later. Would we, from this day on, we would change our perspective and say that, Lord, send us the nation because we are willing to feed them. Would we change that? Send us the people and the nation that you want us to feed. We will take that responsibility. Send those people in front of our house, our door. I will feed them. I will bring them in. That is the perspective we need to change and to have. And I also, yesterday as we were praying at home, Pastor Ian and Sabina, and I started to see the vision of a well. And I said like, oh, is there a well in your church? Because I don't know where I'm going. I don't know the name of your area and everything. And he said, yeah, it's Brightwell, Bridwell. Is there a well? And I started to see the vision of the well is bringing forth the water, the living water upon this region, this is where you are. And I see that the time has come for that well to be restored, the ancient well right here. And the water is coming forth, not just enough for you, but enough to feed the three flocks like the Jacob well. Then it is abundant to feed the nation from that living water here that God is going to release on you. And I would like for you just to receive that, because this is for who you are, for your life, personal life, for your family, for your community, for your nation. But starting from here, that God, He has given you the key of the kingdom. He has entrusted you and give you the key of the kingdom. And now that I can see the water coming forth like that, I believe that there is more to come for this place, for this community, for your life. Would you please standing up together with me? And we're praying that, Lord, that from this day on, everywhere I go, I will attract your miracle. Your miracle follow me. I don't follow your miracle because I am a miracle, and miracle attract miracle. Hallelujah. Lord, that we're praying today that at the people hearing your word, and that they will not be hardened their heart, but their heart will be open and will be touched by the Spirit of the living God right now, that they will receive your word and receive your calling and receive your anointing and receiving your challenge, and know that now is the time and today is the day. And today is the day of salvation. And today is the good day. Today is the day that God has ordained before the foundation of earth for you. And if you're willing to just reach out your hand and say, Lord, I will take the inheritance that you've given to me. I will take whatever territory that you've given to me. I am willing to drive out the enemy the way that you would help me with. And all the enemy, even with a strong iron and chariot, you said in your word that you will chase them out. And in the name of Jesus, your enemy will be kicked out of this land. In the name of Jesus, your enemy will be destroyed and removed and never coming back. In the name of Jesus, that as you speak, the words of God come into existence. As you declare, you bring forth the thing that has not been there, you can bring forth and will come into existence. Kora shada ketere head shinta, that spring up the well deep in your heart that started to well up the water, well up the water. Kora shinta shede, the water of healing that bring forth healing and restoration. The water that just quench the thirst of your life and the people around you. The water that can feed the nation and satisfy them. The water that brings forth life, everlasting life. Be it unto you according to your will, Lord. According to your will for this land, for this nation that started to send your spirit, the living spirit of God, upon hovering on all flesh, on this land, O Lord. There will be a great awakening upon your body, your people. There will be a great awakening that they cannot deny it. They cannot run away from it, but they choose to be part of it and stand with you and bring forth your kingdom here in this city, here in this community, here in this nation, and to the end of the world. In Jesus' mighty name, I bless you all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh.